CliffCentral.com.
It's the weekend, baby!
Yes!
As if there weren't enough
funny noises.
Horrible noises going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, no, it's childish as hell, isn't it? It's great. Good morning, everybody. It's Friday. You wait all week for this day. And you wait all year for this coming month. I mean, December. Ooh. Next Saturday, hey?
Man, oh, man.
All right, so someone asked yesterday. I think it was Lubabalo. What are we doing for the holidays? So I reckon we'll probably work up to that week before Christmas.
Is it?
Yeah. I think we're on until the 20th, the 21st, something
yes,
like that.
Yes.
We'll do a big Christmas special, and we'll probably be off until maybe that first or even halfway through the second week of Jan. But we're busy sorting it out, you know, trying to figure out what the plan is. Because also, it's a weird thing that happens. The first week of January is a bit of a write-off for most people. It just disappears into the ether. Mm. Like, your last week of December is busy. I don't know about you, but this is how I feel it goes anyway. You always have stuff to do that week between Christmas and New Year. It's crazy. Mm. You're either on holiday or you're taking back presents you didn't like, or you're still with family on a like weekend away or a week away or whatever it is. And there's no work, so you don't have any urgent stuff. But you seem to there's a lot that gets crammed into that week between Christmas and New Year always, and then that first week of January, it just disappears into a hole. Nobody can ever explain where they were on the 2nd of January, any year. Ask people. It was like, the 2nd, well, I know where I was on the 7th, but the 2nd or the 3rd, no, I don't know.
All of those days just fold into one
they
another.
They do. Yeah. It becomes this weird mix. So I don't know if it's worth like trying to attempt to do shows during that week or trying to get any business going during that week. It's kind of a dead week.
Mm. All I can note is my head is still in a casserole dish somewhere. Just eating and Christmas leftovers.
And that's also the problem, is these Christmas leftovers that go on and on and on. And you don't make a new meal for like a week either, you know?
The worst is it's turkey, which is that sleep-inducing.
Is it sleep-inducing?
Yeah, it has a hormone in it that makes you sleepy.
Oh, really?
So you're like in a coma for 2 weeks.
Yeah, my parents always do the cooking naturally. I mean, what am I going to do? But then my sister-in-law helps, and my sister's boyfriend helps, and there's a whole lot of other people. I kind of get involved from the point of view of carving the things, and that's about it.
Mm.
But they do the gammon and the ham, and then we usually do a turkey, but they said turkey's shit because it's dry and boring.
Ooh,
and instead
not
they're going to
do it properly on a wee bit.
Yeah, I know, but they're gonna do two chickens instead, which I think is probably nicer.
It's a lot less hours of work.
Yeah, like a turkey's so complicated to get right.
You've got to wake up early and start stuff, and then
I know it's a monster mission.
How long does it take?
Oh, they. My parents start at like 9 o'clock in the morning on the 24th, and then we have that dinner at 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah,
they start early, man. Take it seriously. They mix up all these juices and like orange juice, and it's just a whole thing.
Mm.
Well, they pour that over the gammon, and they've got cherries, and it's just a whole thing. You have no idea.
Last year we decided to go out for Christmas lunch, and which we did, and it was great, so we're doing it again this year.
Oh, that's a plan.
Because our family's kind of dwindling. People are dying off, and no one's reproducing.
Dying
isn't
off.
It just easy,
no,
easy.
No one's making more.
No, we're a dying breed here, man.
Shame.
You and your family are dying out.
Yeah,
this was, growing up, my favorite time of the year. Still is, but for different reasons. Because my sisters and I always used to have a pact. this was actually the time we would go out with my father when he was going out to visit families or visit sick people, whatever the case is, because everyone has food around Christmas time. So he would go and do these home visits
and
for
then
the elderly.
You guys would be able to eat something.
Oh, we were, we're like, you go and you pray for someone. We'll just, you'll find us right here in the kitchen. And we knew the perfect ratio of how to act as well. It's like, oh no, we're just here with our dad. Then they go, oh no, now we have to offer you something. Please feel free. We're like, no, sorry, no, we were not here to eat. No, we just cannot have another bite.
Can you imagine Sia being all like sincere, but at the same time, like not sincere at all?
Oh, you knew.
I'm only here
for
the food.
There's just the food, the salads, the everything. You stuff your face. December's the time to stuff your face.
Well, we'll be doing a little Christmas special here, which we try to do every year. And we'll have some fun and games, and some old characters will return to the show, and all kinds of other things. So stick around for that. Should be good fun.
Very good.
Very good.
Very, very good.
So I'm off to Cape Town today for a wedding.
Oh, yeah.
This is your first of three.
First of three destination weddings. I'm very excited. Because, you know, when it rolls around, you're like, yay, I'm glad I accepted that invite. Mm. It's going to be fun. And I know it's going to be cool. Like tomorrow night, lots of people that I will know and a whole bunch of people that I won't. And you meet new people. And a wedding's kind of a nice place to meet people. You end up at a table with some people that you don't know. And you kind of meet them, talk to them about their lives. And before you know it, you've got new friends.
I've been to some weddings where not a word is exchanged between everyone at the table.
Oh, God, that's horrible.
Yeah.
That's like a corporate dinner. Mm. That's like one of those awards dinners.
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends where you're sitting.
Make small talk.
Yeah, horrible. And it's like some mousy couple that doesn't say a word.
Oh, did you get put with a shit table?
Sometimes.
Oh, because you're quite good at talking to people. Like, I know you're shy.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks you're all, you know, loud and brassy because you've done radio and stuff. But I know you're shy.
Yeah.
You sit at a table. You're not going to initiate like, hi, I'm Leanne. How are you? Who are you? Like, Sia would go up to the table. He'd go around the table and say hello. You would quietly sit there and maybe if it was a really close friend or a relative, you talk to them.
Yes.
You wouldn't need to talk to the rest of the table. So if they look boring, you wouldn't even make an effort.
I always test the waters a little bit by saying something silly or funny. And if they don't, if they look Botoxed up and they haven't moved a muscle,
then you just
then
stay
I'm
away.
Just like, I'm not trying this. I'm sorry.
Too much.
Too much work.
Yeah.
You see, table settings are so important at weddings or any sort of ceremony because I'm at that point now where, you know, there's usually like the kiddies table.
Yeah.
And I'm not part of that table anymore.
Oh, yay.
I've graduated, but I'm at this gray area because I'm not a... People don't consider me like a full-grown adult who would, for example, like in many cases, they go, Sia, is it worth paying for a partner for Sia? No. So Sia
isn't enough.
So they
invite you without a partner?
Yeah.
So no, that's horrible.
It's that gray area. So which means I'm slapped onto a table with like seven other people who I don't know. So it's either I'm stuck with a sad divorcee.
Oh, no.
Sad divorcees. Or like the rejects in the family. Oh, and it's just all eight of us like, hey, okay.
You'd rather be at the kiddies table, right?
I would the kiddies table. At least you get some coloring paper. You get some candy on the table. I'd far rather that. Now I have to talk to someone.
How old are you again?
In 23. AKA the sad gray area. Now I have to talk to Fred, who's been divorced for 8 years but still badmouths his ex-wife. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the other one, who's the black sheep of the family.
The worst
horrible.
Is to be stuck at a table with people who hate weddings because they're just there's nothing you can say to them that's going to make their day better. They're like, oh, you have to do fucking photographs.
Yeah.
Or if they think that their wedding was the best and that nothing else matters.
Smug marrieds.
Yes.
Oh, they're the worst.
Aren't they just?
They are the absolute worst smug marrieds.
But then you always just need to have a good connection with someone at another table. That's my tactic.
Yeah, I always say to people, I blurted out right at the beginning because this could be the icebreaker that you use sometimes just to test the waters. So I'll say to people, hey, if there's someone cool around, I'll go, listen, if your table's boring, come here.
Yeah.
Or I'll say, I'll come to yours if it's any better than mine.
Yes.
And I'll say it in front of everyone at the table. So then there's pressure on them to not be boring.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I wouldn't
up their
that.
Game. Oh, yeah. Official D-Man says, if you missed my interview on cliffcentral.com, ooh, very exciting, on the Millennial Gen, you can go and check that out. Yes, that's one of our shows. And a lot of people Want to know what's on the lineup? You can go and check it all out at cliffcentral.com. There are people here like Devano saying, you guys are mentioning very valid alternatives to buying food for less. Now, this is interesting. I got into a conversation with Dr. Jonathan Witt yesterday. Today's Black Friday, obviously. Mm-hmm. So there's just going to be chaos. And by the way, I am excited about all those videos of people pulling out machetes and chopping each other up over a bag of flour. It's going to happen.
Well, I mean, it started officially at midnight.
I know. Can't wait. Aren't you excited?
People tripping old ladies and not feeling bad for it.
Yeah, right.
There's free parking at a lot of the shopping malls. That's their Black Friday offering.
Oh, how nice of them. The rest of the year, they're happy to just rape you from a parking point of view.
Can you imagine what it's going to be like?
Oh, wow.
I know someone who actually woke up at 11-ish, 11 p.m., to be at a store in Rosebank when it opens at 1 minute past midnight.
No.
And it's a clothing store.
No way.
Yeah.
One of my clients is a jewelry client. They're jewelry makers and stock luxury watches, etc. And it's 50% off today on all jewelry.
Ooh. Wow, that's quite a good
gonna
deal.
That's going to be crazy, man.
That's going to be all kinds of hell there.
Wow. Ooh. Imagine you've been saving up for an engagement ring and it's sort of 40,000 rand. You can get it for 20.
You know, that's it. Ooh. That's the point I was telling Gareth yesterday. I was saying, you know, if you were consciously waiting for Black Friday, if there was something you desperately wanted and you were saving for it and you were waiting for discounts, then that's fantastic. But if you are just one of these people who has no plan, has no cooking clue what you exactly want, but you just have this urge to spend, I think that's silly.
Yeah,
look, I mean, so Jonathan Witt was telling me he got nappies. I think last year or this year, he got them at a real discount.
Which is like the biggest expense of babies.
But if you think about it, like nappies, that's a real worthy Black Friday thing. Because you know, every cent you spend on a nappy is fucking waste.
Mm.
Every cent.
Goes in the bin, literally.
Yeah. It gets filled with shit and goes in the bin.
But lest we forget, Black Friday is born out of Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving happens on, well, this year it happened on the 22nd, so what is it, yesterday.
Yes.
And I don't know, I'm just such a cornball. I actually enjoyed going and like searching the hashtag Thanksgiving and seeing people on social media saying what they're thankful for. And I'm thankful for my family and I'm thankful for my job. It was kind of sweet. I even have a friend in the States I work up to, a gratitude message that they sent me. I was like, oh my gosh, people actually do that and they're thankful for me.
I know, the Thanksgiving's a very real thing.
It is a sweet
thing. And Americans take it very seriously. Comes from a good place, you know?
But I love President Trump.
Had
a call with the media, and he was asked what he's most thankful for, and he pulled a Snoop Dogg on us.
I'm thankful for me. Is that what he said? But you know, they asked him, they asked him about Time Magazine, and they said, one of the journalists, Mr. President, are you going to be Time Magazine's Person of the Year? Person. I like that it's person. It used to be man. Now it's person of the year. Of course, I am expecting to win.
Oh.
He goes, who would not expect Trump to win? Speaks about himself in the third person. God. But you realize what he's doing. Like, he's trolling the media. If you ask him that question, what are you expecting as an answer?
Yeah.
You're asking.
You're not going to get him going, oh, well, you know, it would be really nice.
Or humble bragging.
Yes.
Like so many of us would, we'd go, oh, no, not me. I don't deserve that. You know, if you'd asked Obama that, he would have gone, oh, no, there are plenty of good people who deserve more awards than I do. And even though I didn't give the Nobel Prize back for doing nothing, I don't think I should get the Time Magazine Person of the Year.
Yeah.
That's what he'd say.
Trump
would be like, yeah, give me the award.
Yeah. When is the turkey pardoning? Is it Thanksgiving?
They've already done that.
Yeah. Oh, did he do it?
He did it on Tuesday. There was a turkey called Peas. There's peas and there was carrots.
Oh, shame.
I know, it's corny.
And peas got forgiven and carrots got slaughtered.
Oh, dear.
But it's interesting you mention Obama, because if you look at the comparison between the two of what they said they're thankful for, you are right in what she said. So Trump directly said that he's grateful for having a great family. So he did start off on a good note.
Okay.
And then he continued and for having made a tremendous difference in this country. I made a tremendous difference in the country.
I made a tremendous difference. difference.
This country is so much stronger now that it than it was when I took office there.
Yeah, right.
That you won't believe. And I mean, you see it, but so much stronger that people can't even believe it. When I see foreign leaders, they say we cannot believe the difference in strength between the United States now and the United States 2 years ago. I made a lot of progress.
I did. You know, someone once told me if you write something, let's say you write an opinion piece, so you send someone an email, or you type up a paragraph about yourself because you need to hand it in to someone. Maybe you're looking for a job, or they're about to publish something about you. Whatever, I don't know. You know, it might be like in a company newsletter or something. Count the number of I's and me's in there.
Mm-hmm.
And if there are too many, and you'll have to judge, depending on the length of the piece. But most people, if you look at social media, I, me, total self-absorbed nonsense. Count the I's and the me's in a sentence.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see what I mean. Most people begin a sentence with me or I, or it's all about them the whole time.
It's hard to avoid in a biography, though, unless you put it in a different state or phase, which would be like, Gareth graduated from blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but look, sometimes it's unavoidable. Right? Mm. But what I'm saying is that there's an upper limit to how many you can use as well.
Yeah.
It does give you an insight into someone's psychology if it's all me, 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 I.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of the scale, Obama just said, I'm grateful for the next generation of leaders, the young people who are tolerant, creative, idealistic, and doing the work to create the world as it should be.
Well, you see, that's exactly what I predicted.
Mm.
I was joking just now when I did the Obama impersonation, but
that's it.
That's what he would do. And you know what people are, some people love the humility. That humble brag stuff of like, well, I've been president of the United States, but I don't need your adulation. Let me make it about someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Some people like that. Other people go, well, Trump's a douche, but at least he's not bullshitting us.
Rather like, the devil really, you know.
He really does think he is the most deserving person of some award. And therefore, at least you know what you're dealing with. I wonder how history will write about Obama and Trump, because they're opposites. And 2016, after Obama was out with very low approval ratings, which always surprised me, because he came in so high and everybody was so excited, and he left with low approval ratings. I've always liked the guy, I've said so. Trump comes in with very low approval ratings. And you look at the way the two have managed things and how they deal with their staff, how they deal with their wives, how they deal with the press. It's totally different. I wonder how history's going to write that up. I wonder how history will describe these two men. But like in 50 years, when things are really settled. Like people are now starting to look at Richard Nixon, who was a terrible person. And they're starting to say, well, you know what? He was a terrible person, but actually, if you look at his presidency, he wasn't such a bad president. He opened up discussions with China, which were very insightful, very forward-thinking of him. He started talking to China long before they were a powerful economy.
Hmm.
Yeah, he managed to pull America back from the Vietnam War disaster in some ways. It was during Nixon's time that men landed on the moon, even though it was started by Kennedy. And that Nixon actually ended up being a very shrewd politician as well. And even if you didn't like the guy because he was ugly and self-absorbed as well, and he was a very small man. He was a little man. He felt intimidated by a lot of things. He was easily threatened.
Small man syndrome.
Yeah, massive ego problem, and he didn't like being compared to anyone. And essentially, of course, he was then trying to cling to power with that whole Watergate scenario that embarrassed the whole nation. He was basically forced to resign. So he ended in disaster. But now people are looking back and they're evaluating him and Kissinger and everything else and going, well, you know, there are good and there are bad things. We're much more objective with the long term.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder what people will think of now in 50 years. They'll say, wow, those people are so lucky to live at a time of such contrast.
Mm. Yeah.
Because right now we know how skewed everything can be.
Oh, Terrible.
You know, I've started to pick up on the smallest things, like when Trump is referred to as opposed to when Obama is referred to. They'll speak about Obama and they'll say, former President Barack Obama.
Yeah.
And then they'll go, Donald Trump.
Yes.
That, it might be a minor thing, no, but I think it's very telling.
Or not even Donald Trump. Trump.
Yeah. Mm. There is a certain respect that some members of the media or people have for Obama, and they'll respect his position and if you dare question why people refer to him as Trump or Donald Trump as opposed to the president,
yeah,
then they'll get into this whole thing of no, well, he's just a person, but they'll never say the same about Obama.
And it all just depends on, oh, come on, people are so partisan. And again, it depends on how you feel about it.
I was watching Michelle Obama on Ellen.
Oh, yes? Yeah, we played a clip of that.
Yeah, and to me, she still looks like... she's still the first lady. I don't know. There's this massive amount of respect for her.
Yeah, I like her. Like her, for what it's worth. I mean, who cares what my opinion is? But the fact is, like, she's always been so dignified. And Oprah said it. She never put a foot wrong. You can dislike Michelle. You might be one of those people who's just not a fan of her for some reason. I don't know. I've met people who are just not a fan of hers. You've got to admit, she did not put a foot wrong, and people would have looked for it. People were always looking for it. They were waiting to call her a bad mom or a bad wife or to say that she was a first lady who was a bit of an activist. She was none of those things.
She was
dignified.
So, I mean, what clip did you play of her? Because the one I watched was where she was describing Malia's heavily guarded prom send-off.
Yeah, well, that's what Sia was telling us.
Yeah, and just how down to earth she was. She said, no, I want my child to be picked up by her partner in his car.
Yeah.
I want to make it a normal life. Yeah. She's almost like the Princess Diana of America, where she wanted a normal life, as normal as possible for her kids, which was really great.
I wonder what people like say about First Lady Melania Trump.
Yeah. Well, have you seen those memes with Melania like squinting? And no. People are going like, because in every picture her eyes are like this.
Yeah.
She's like got her eyes all like squinted and very
scrunched
like that. She's looking into the sun.
Yeah.
And it's got how we see Melania and then a whole lot of pictures of her squinting like that. And then how Melania sees us. But like most of the pictures obscured, you can just see the kind of coin slot view of things.
Oh no. Who knows? Because I know this movie's old now, but I just watched the Jackie movie, and that's the Jackie Onassis movie.
I
think it with Natalie Portman. It came out years ago, but I just watched it probably 2 weeks
that's
ago.
That's a brilliant movie, huh?
I just know Jackie O as the style icon and first lady, but the way the movie takes about her life was fascinating to watch. And I wonder if, you know, history and time allows for space and for our minds to mellow out a bit and for us to see things in a new way. And I really found that movie incredible. That scene specifically, as they followed Jackie O straight after the shooting and they follow her onto Air Force One. And while she was on Air Force One, that's when the new president was sworn in. And she was still
Johnson.
Shell-shocked of, you know, what had happened, and she still hadn't changed, and she still had blood on herself, and now already there was a new president sworn in. That was all intense. Super, super intense.
Yeah, it was such a great movie. I remember it clearly. I watched it on a plane, and Natalie Portman is spectacular in there.
Mm.
Really good. So what happened with the cabinet reshuffle?
Do we know?
Ay, ay, ay.
Do we know? All I know is we'll just chat to Anthea at 6:45 to find out about the hike as well.
Well, yeah, the repo rate. So we've got lots of things to catch up on that actually matter this morning. But, you know, I prefer talking about stuff that isn't in the news, frankly. Shit. All right, let's look at some of the headlines because we've got to get to the stuff, whether it's pleasant or not. So Ramaphosa has changed the cabinet. He's thrown some people out. He's pushed some people into places. He's mixed it up. So let's look at this quickly. The president has retained two controversial remnants of the Jacob Zuma administration. Nomvula Mokonyane, she's managed to hold on despite driving the Department of Water Affairs and Sanitation into bankruptcy. And Batabile Dlamini, she's she's also managed to cling to her post. See, he needs her because she's got the Women's League.
Oh.
Despite saying his executive should have members who are committed to serving citizens and helping to grow the country, how about not worrying about their motivation and worrying about their skill set? How about that, Mr. Yeah. President? How about actually finding people who have, by merit, the right skill set to be able to push this country forward? You can have people with the best intentions in the world, and they will amount to nothing because they're just hollow politicians. You need people who can make things happen. You need engineers and big thinkers and scientists and managers and people who've run, you know, large organizations successfully.
People who can get the job done.
Yeah, I don't want a philosopher. I don't want some politician, frankly. Anyway, he's retained Batabile Nomvula. He announced his changes. Let me go through some of them quickly for you. Siyabonga Qoyele is now the Minister of Home Affairs. I don't know how he managed to come back in because he was an absolute fucking disaster before. He was the one whose wife was the drug mule.
Oh, yes.
Or the drug dealer, and he never knew she was into drugs and making all this money out of international drug trade.
Was he or the wife involved with intelligence?
No, he was the Minister of Intelligence, and he still didn't know this about his wife. I mean, he didn't know his own wife was dealing drugs.
Being a CIA agent, you don't know
your... What a dumbass.
Oh, that was the great irony. Really? Yes. No.
So, yeah, Edna Molewa has given way to Nomvula Mokonyane in environmental affairs. So, God help our seas, God help our oceans, God help our forests and our atmosphere. Nomvula Mokonyane has ruined water, and now she's going to ruin the rest of the environment. Exciting times. And then they've finally concertinaed these two stupid ministries, which were more or less the same thing. Minister of Communications and Minister of Telecommunications and Postal Services.
Okay.
Postal Services?
Well, I'm glad they've combined it now because, Jeez, you know, the telephone and...
How ridiculous, right? They had two ministries because they needed jobs for Pels. They finally put that into one. Stellan Dabeni Abrahams is the new minister there. So Nomvula and Siyabonga have just been redeployed. And Malusi made a space, right? Because when he resigned, there was no one for
Home Affairs.
So now Siyabonga Qoyele. I mean, God, we may as well put... I'd like to put my ticket in. Let me think of someone who would be better than Siyabonga Qoyele. Just go to the nearest lunatic asylum and choose someone and it'll be fine. He spoke of his envisaged cabinet, which would have a diverse mix of skilled and qualified people. With what? A mix of unqualified, unskilled people. Is that what you're saying?
How is he making poor decisions when he was off to such a good start?
Was he? In making these changes, I remain determined that cabinet should have an appropriate mix of experience and capability, as well as gender and generational mix. So what he's basically saying is, the women and the young people in there are inexperienced shitheads. That's what he's saying. It's not so subtle. He's saying we want experience and capability, and we want a gender and generational mix. Do you understand? Mm. So patronizing. Like if there were women there, they're probably not qualified.
No, it does sound... It's badly constructed.
The president has kept those two, Mokonyane and Dlamini, and that's what people are talking about. No questions were permitted. The president could not be pushed to explain his decision when contrasted to the ideals he has set for the cabinet. So don't hold your breath, kids. That's as good as it's going to get with Ramaphosa. And he's tied. He's tied down because he's got to keep some of these people happy. Otherwise, they'll rebel against him. And, you know, Jacob Zuma is still lurking on the outskirts. Don't forget that. Samsung, They've apologized for factory cancer cases.
Oh no. Oh.
Yes, they apologized to workers on Friday who developed cancer after working in its semiconductor factories, finally ending a decade-long dispute at the world's top chip maker. We sincerely apologize to the workers who suffered from illness and their families, said the firm's president, Kim Ki-nam. You've got to be in that part of the world if things go wrong. People, like, commit suicide.
Yes, they fall on their swords.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if this is occurring at Samsung, surely they're using the same sort of chemicals or whatever it is that's causing it at other manufacturers of the same kind.
And maybe Samsung are the only ones who actually apologized. Yeah. So I'll keep an eye on that story because there's bound to be more. Three doctors were wounded in a Limpopo hospital shooting. Did you hear about this?
What?
Yes. The Public Service Association has condemned the wounding of three doctors in a shooting at Letaba Hospital The early hours of Thursday morning, the doctors are currently in hospital after they were attacked during a suspected robbery.
See, people, what are you going to rob from a hospital?
Well, people are so desperate they will rob a hospital.
Look, it is the best place to be shot. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
Leanne, orders of the silver light.
Like, I mean, I remember going, I thought I was having a heart attack. It was a panic attack. And I sat at the hospital cafeteria and had lunch, just in case I fell down. And,
right, good idea. So you were close to,
Yeah.
That is ingenious.
So these guys tried to rob the hospital. Yeah. They got in through the back over a fence. What they were going to do is steal from the people in the hospital.
Okay.
You know,
you mean people who are lying there who don't have their jewelry on?
We're not talking about, yeah, we're not talking about massively ambitious thieves. We're talking about people who want to get like a nurse's purse or...
And also, they didn't need. There was no need to jump over a wall. They could have just walked in the main entrance.
Said, "Oh, my foot hurts."
Yeah.
Stupid idiots. Anyway, even the quality of our criminals is poor.
Yeah.
A serial rapist has been sentenced to 3 life sentences and 205 years imprisonment at the Bisho High Court in Eastern Cape. That's good news. Mm-hmm. I like when rapists get sent to jail for a long time. Man is known for stalking and preying on young women and schoolgirls in the Ndansane area and East London for years. Luvuyo Malawana Mananga. He is 38 years old, was found guilty of a string of rapes and other offences committed varying from kidnapping, robbery with aggravated circumstances, and pointing a gun at some of his victims. So, an all-round great guy.
Yeah,
terrific guy. The police said the provincial commissioner welcomed the sentence and extended her gratitude to individuals, groups, and organisations within the community who continue to support and offer help and counselling to sexual offence victims. And keep locking up rapists, if you don't mind.
I read an updated stat yesterday that 1 in 2, so half, of South African women are abused.
Oh, my God. Oh, I don't know. How do you start to deal with that? Fucking animals out there. I'm telling you, animals. I've never raised a hand to a woman. And these guys are embarrassing the rest of us by behaving like cavemen. Anyway, Rustenburg. You know that thrilling place, Rustenburg.
We have by the northwest.
Yeah, I looked at the stats the other day. We have 83 people who listen to us regularly in Rustenburg. Isn't that nice?
Everyone counts.
So, hey, guys. The head of the Northwest Health Department, your guy, Dr. Thabo Lekalakala, he has been placed on precautionary suspension, which means... hands in the till.
Oh, dear.
Hands in the till. That's always what happens. His suspension followed his reinstatement to the post after a court ruled that he could not return to work. It's just amazing. Like, these guys will, like, go to court to try and hold on to their jobs, even though no one wants them in their jobs. He was suspended in April and put on special leave. The precautionary suspension is based on the nature and seriousness of allegations leveled against him, as well as the ongoing disciplinary hearing, which is scheduled for 11 and 12 December. He was placed on suspension in April, and they're only dealing with him now in December. So all this time he's been paid for.
Yeah, he's
and
been
he's been
on,
sitting at home.
What do they call it?
Gardening leave. I mean, that's unreal, right? Apparently he's facing allegations of procurement irregularities and misrepresentation. So a great guy. And you can bet he was appointed by that other terrifically spotless and non-corrupt politician, being sarcastic if you can't figure it out, Supramahumapelo. He was at work on Monday but was confronted by Toy Toy workers who wanted him fired. I mean, this is what we have to do. We have to actually go to your office and dance and sing outside to get rid of you.
I witnessed one of those right in front of me yesterday in Sandton.
Yeah?
How
exciting.
Outside the... Alexander Forbes building.
Ooh.
It was an illegal gathering of protesters.
Exciting.
And I was at Slow in the City, so I'd come out for a cigarette.
Oh, that's nice. And it's a good place to work, that.
Yes. Oh. There were security buckies. What is it called? Wheeling.
Making donuts and spinning in the...
And slamming on brakes and shouting at people and... It was quite scary. All the cars had stopped. No one knew where to go. It's like
people are dumb.
Main intersection. Crazy.
All right. Well, do you want to talk to Ben? Is he on phone or Skype?
On the phone.
On the phone. Let's go to Ben and see what he has to say for himself this morning. Of course, Ben is spending some time with his hero, Gary Player. Isn't that good?
Mm.
Yes. Hey, Ben, what's up?
Hi, Gareth. How's it going?
How's Gary?
Strong, huh? Strong as always. You know, you always think you're going to come to this event, the Gary Player Invitational, and he's going to be a bit doddery, a little bit weak, but he fires, huh? Here he is, 83 years old. Beating
83?
His age in the golf
is he 83?
Course. 83, Gareth.
Jesus, wow, that's amazing. Good for Gary.
Well, yeah, Gareth, good for him, and it is always a pleasure coming here. I've lost count how many years I've actually come to this event, but it's definitely one I've never ever met, because it is just, I mean, it's the world's biggest charity golf series. Like, it's just staggering what the guys actually raised. You know, we always have a bit of a joke on the show about various people. But when you break it down, you know, Gary's raised over $64 million. As in, like, actual US dollars, real money.
Yeah, so everybody who doesn't like him, you have to tell me why you are any better than he is if he's raised that $54 million. So, Ben, most importantly, you weren't in any shape to play golf this time last week. Are you good to go today?
No, I'm giving it a skip. I'm going to walk around the golf course today and just focus on the little video that I'm making for the weekend.
Ben, are you very sad?
Very, hugely. And the worst thing is, like, the moment you get to a golf course and you have a look over the course, so we're here at Sun City, so the Lost City course is the one that's getting played. Yesterday, my back felt amazing. I looked at the golf course and I felt like I was 18 and full of health.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that's not the case, but I'm not good at tennis.
All right. You think you might hurt yourself if you do?
Definitely. Right, God, I can't have that again, Gareth. I can't have 2 weeks again. That was just embarrassing.
All right. Shame. You did. You were buckled over.
Yeah, well, you know, we've got Gord back from the dead. There's no point me tempting and going back there. So we should try to stay healthy until the new year.
I hear you. All right, well, what is on the agenda today?
Well, I'll tell you what's on the agenda is Banyana, the women's football team. Pretty much one of the biggest success stories of SA sports in recent time. But you might not be hearing much about it. Well, it is their AFCON at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And they beat Nigeria, which the father of the planet couldn't do. They then absolutely hammered Equatorial Guinea, and then tomorrow at 6 o'clock, they're playing against Zambia. So try and read up about this team. You know, they really are doing something quite special. If they win AFCON, they, of course, go to the World Cup. Now, obviously, not on a global stage. The American team is probably the strongest, along with China, historically. Mm-hmm. But what our women are doing in this country is just so empowering. Like, this is a really great story for sport, let alone a women's sport. And they're currently kicking ass in their AFCON. So look out for that. Of course, the big rugby of the weekend will be the final match of the sort of the year, Springboks, because the international series began the last month. There's been some fantastic matches, of course, highlighted by Ireland beating New Zealand, and, well, England also coming quite close. So there's been lots to watch out for, but this weekend will be the final round of those. New Zealand are going to absolutely slaughter Italy at 4 o'clock. The Scots are taking on Argentina. That's going to be a pretty good match. You would imagine the Scots are going to win that one at 4:30. England versus Australia. That's another biggie at 5. And then Wales will be hosting SA part 7. So that's going to be the big one to watch. The Rassie Erasmus go with a completely unchanged team this time around. And well, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because, of course, there's a lot of fringe players or just guys who may be deserving a chance to get a go. But Rusty is, well, you know, we don't really say these kind of things, but he's actually quite a conservative coach. I know he comes from quite a rock and roll background of, you know, living in Bloemfontein and having disco lights in the stadium, but he's quite a conservative chap. And I think election policies of this year have kind of shown us that. So sticking with his call and sticking with whatever he can to get a win out there. And, of course, these games are always going to be quite tight.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other ones not to worry about, really, Ireland, USA, France, Fiji. In the Mzansi Super League, you know, that's going to be carrying on throughout the weekend. If you are in the Gauteng area, it's a great weekend for it, because you've got the Jersey Stars playing Saturday night.
Yep.
And then we've got the Spartans. They're hosting their match at 11 o'clock on Sunday. So if you're in the Gauteng area, get another ticket pro, get a ticket for that. It's peak summer. It's peak summer. There's not a lot else on the go at the moment. Just be completely honest about that. There's no rugby to watch here. There's no real football to watch other than getting excited about Banyana. So get on down to the Dundee Super League, and it's going to be bloody good fun. Otherwise, Gareth, there's golf. There's the match, which is Phil Mickelson versus Tiger Woods. Now, tonight at 10 o'clock, so that's good time. You can catch that on Supersport. $9 million. Now, one of the interesting things about this story is that, just think back in the 90s, maybe turn of the century, definitely in the 80s, it was all very about being very brazen about how much money you make. But I think we've come along such a long way as a society that now when you make money and it doesn't go to charity in an event, everyone's like calling you out on it.
Right.
So there's this, obviously this event, the match is taking place in Las Vegas. So it's proper Vegas, as in Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods individually posing with a stack of cash. And people are literally flying into them on social media, like, this is so crass, the money should be going to charity, you guys are rich enough.
Yeah,
again, like,
you know what? You cannot tell other people what to do with their money. You don't have any. You have no right to tell anyone what to do with their money. Stop it. Who are these people who think they can tell everyone else what to do with their cash? You don't have any claim on that cash. Stop it.
Exactly.
Go make your
own. It's all business. I mean, Tiger and Phil together. Now, people are saying, well, you know, they passed it and this match took place 10 years ago. It might be relevant. But I was showing to a mate of mine yesterday, and if you go through the world of golf, from the number one ranked player down to whoever, there's no two other people that can really pull this off. So you can't have an exhibition match between Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka. It'd be boring as all hell. You can't have an exhibition match between Sergio Garcia and Tommy Fleetwood. It would be boring.
Right.
You can only have it with Phil. You can only have it with Tiger. So that's why there's $9 million left. And I know, like, these guys don't need the money. Of course they don't need the money. But that's not the issue here. It's entertainment. It's made for TV, this whole thing. And it will take place 9:10 o'clock. That's pretty much all for your big sporting things. And there's a Grand Prix at Abu Dhabi, but that's nothing at stake there other than a beautiful sunset. And England will be toiling against Sri Lanka in Test cricket. That's pretty much it.
That sounds good. All right, Ben. Thanks very much.
I'll be back on Monday with great stories from the weekend. But if you do want to find out more about it, just follow me on Instagram.
We're very excited. Thank you, Ben. Have a good weekend with Gary, all right?
All right, guys, I could sense jealous in your voice, so I'll leave it there.
Very jealous, Ben, obviously. Jealous of you spending so much time with such a hero.
The Black Knight.
All right, very nice. All right, we're going to talk to Anthea because, of course, the Reserve Bank did something that we were hoping they wouldn't do yesterday. They raised the repo rate, so we're going to check in with Anthea quickly. Hey, Anthea, good morning.
Good morning, Gareth.
I'm right. We weren't expecting, well, we might have expected this, but we didn't want this to happen, not right before Christmas.
I certainly wasn't expecting it. The rand is stronger, the oil price is lower, inflation seems to be contained or steady at least. So there was absolutely no reason, in my opinion, for the Reserve Bank to raise interest rates yesterday. And they only raised it by 0.25%, which also, in my opinion, is just an administrative nightmare. So I think what they've done is more damage to sentiment than actually making a difference in the economy. So the problem, of course, is that you've got low economic growth and high unemployment. And I know that they're concerned about high inflation because that would lead to that would really indicate a stagflationary economic environment, which is very difficult to manage.
Sure.
But instead of targeting inflation, I think what you really need is economic growth and job creation. And then, of course, the argument is that maybe it's not the Reserve Bank's job to boost economic growth, but it's also probably not their job to make government's job more difficult.
Sure.
Which they are doing. So clearly we're not going to spend our way out of a recession if it does come around again.
So what do you think the major impact of this is going to be for most people? How is it going to affect you and me?
So the repo rate is now 6.7%, and prime lending, which is what consumers can borrow at, is 10.25%, and you will definitely feel it in your pocket. I mean, you've already felt through this year, last year and this year, the higher inflation hurting your pocket, the higher petrol price, higher food prices, meat prices. And so now when your car repayments and your mortgage repayments go up, you'll have less money at the end of the month, and that's basically what it is. Hmm. You know, we spoke about retail sales on Monday, didn't we? Because last week it came out at 0.6% and we were expecting an increase of 2%. So very disappointing. And I said that maybe it was people were holding back their money for Black Friday or for Christmas shopping or just a nice Christmas, basically. And I think I think it's going to impact that, because what you want, the retailers really are suffering. Yesterday we had Tiger Brands results out. It was shocking. It was horrible. I mean, of course, Tiger Brands have other issues besides just people not buying their products, you know, kind of margin issues, and shoppers going on to using or purchasing lower priced products than Tiger Brands delivers.
Yeah. Wow. You know,
so people are shopping down.
Well, this is great news just before Black Friday, which is supposed to be this huge day for sales, and the government, typically our government, just cannot put their foot in the right place. They've decided, no, we'll screw these people before they can even go and enjoy their Black Friday bargains.
And how ridiculous is it? Because we all know, I spoke about this last week, that there is an additional between 1.50 and 2 rand. I think it's closer to 2 rand now because the rand's so much stronger. In excess in the petrol price. So we should get a petrol price decrease next week, I think. But now the government's they've taken it back by putting up our mortgages and our car repayments.
Yeah, you're just being screwed left, right, and center. And we're also probably looking at a tax increase next year, aren't we? And that's what people are saying.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about that.
That is all we need. But let's just for a moment try to be optimistic, because otherwise we'll tear our hair out. Are there any advantages to this? I mean, if you have money and you let's say you have money in an interest-bearing account, this helps you a little bit, right?
Oh, absolutely, yes. It's bad for borrowers, good for savers, basically, is what it is.
Right.
And if you're interested, the Reserve Bank is looking for a new MPC committee member, mm-hmm. and they are looking for an external. So I'll give you the email address to send your CV to if you wish.
No, I think I'll be all right. You don't need an idiot. You don't need an idiot like me in there. Just, you know, I would ruin everything. I think.
I think you understand the impact it has on the consumer, their decisions. So that's exactly what they need.
I feel like the South Africans who are productive and work hard and get into taxis at 3 a.m. and go off to do backbreaking work every day are the ones who get punished every time. The extremely rich don't feel a 0.25% increase in any kind of rate. And the very, very, very poor who don't have jobs, they don't feel it either, because to them, you know, things just go up or down and they don't necessarily have any hold on it and they don't have any control over it. And they're living in squalor anyway. So what's more squalor? You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. You do understand.
It's the productive people.
So there you go. Like,
they're just screwing the productive, the middle classes, the people who are working hard, who are trying to put their kids through varsity or through high school. It's just so unfair. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, the Reserve Bank did explain it by saying global inflation is on a steady upward trajectory and the U.S. are going to raise rates. And so when that happens, our rand could weaken. And so they may be trying to stave that off and they're looking into the future. But it makes no sense. It still makes no sense to me. I think it was an unnecessary decision. And if they really wanted to have an impact, they should have raised it by 50 basis points, 0.5% instead of 0.25%. Like, what was the point of yesterday, really?
Right. Well, who knows? We'll have to see. And maybe they can explain themselves more eloquently over the next few days. People are probably furious. I'm sure they are, right?
Oh, absolutely. Well, my sector is definitely furious. And the market just didn't know how to react to it. Initially, the market kind of just stood still. Granted, it was Thanksgiving yesterday and the U.S. wasn't open. But it was as if, like, the market just paused and went, this can't be right. And then, of course, the rand strengthened from, like, 13.95 to 13.73, which is nice for some. But, it was a bit of a shock to us.
That's just because people can get, you know, mostly in foreign markets, can get more interest on their money here. That's all. That's the only reason they went up.
Gareth, I'm definitely sending your CV in. You do understand.
Thank God I'm getting something right. Hooray. All right, this is good. After all these years, Anthony, I'm learning.
Well done. All right, have awesome. A good weekend.
Well, you try too. Don't be too depressed about the repo rate going up.
Okay, thank you.
Anthea Gardner, there we are. Hmm. You owe money? If you owe money, you owe more now than you did yesterday.
Shit.
I know.
Yay.
Get it
so
together,
exciting.
People. Come on.
So exciting.
Do not live in debt. And if you're going out for Black Friday today, please don't spend unnecessary money that you don't have.
Too late for the people who woke up at midnight.
Oh, they've already spent.
We are 6 hours and 54 minutes too late.
Oh.
And most of these Black Friday specials carry on throughout the weekend, and then there's Cyber Monday. Plenty of time
for people to make bad decisions.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will keep you updated with a whole lot of stories in the news. We'll get into a couple of things that affect you and might affect you over the next couple of hours. You know, things that are going on in the world. And we weren't going to do the whole Black Friday thing, but the Cliff Central unwired earphones are so damn cool that we thought we'd give you a nice little discount for them just in time for Christmas. The last few are in the... well, you can go to cliffcentral.com or you can go to Take A Lot directly. I don't mind where you go. But the last few are left and you can get them. Listen to this. Usual price is 550 Rand. But for today only...
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Black Friday sale, you can get them for...
Tell us.
399 Rand.
Whoa.
Damn,
what's
Gina.
The percentage of that? Let me try and figure. I'm going to get out my calculator. Can I do this quickly?
Oh, that big old calculator
of
yours.
Yeah, okay. Let me try and
used it in a
let me
while.
Try and get this thing
just
going.
Just dusted off there. Let's as go. Well.
So here we are. Put in. So the usual price is 500. We're doing 399. Ooh. That is a 20.2% saving.
Wow.
How's that, huh? That's a 20.2% saving on the headphones. So if you want to get a pair of those, go along to cliffcentral.com now for the special deal, 399. You know what? You can give them to someone for Christmas. Stocking stuffers.
I say why because A, the price is impressive, but B, why because you worked that out on your own. That really is great.
Anthea's rubbing off on me with all of her repo rates and mathematics. And
you will send in your CV there.
Complicated financial instruments, I'm telling you.
Can I remind you guys about the good that's happening over Thanksgiving as well,
course.
Please?
We've got to do Said by Sia.
Oh,
I would never have forgotten you, Sia. What do you got for us today?
This is so cool. The community of Virginia in the United States is being praised for what they...
Virginia or Virginia?
Virginia.
Okay, I thought you said Virginia.
I haven't discovered Virginia. Moving on swiftly. The community of Virginia is being hailed for what they're doing this Thanksgiving period for their pets that are unadopted in shelters. And I think this is incredible. There is a shelter by the name of Richmond Animal Care and Control that has 92 pets under their care. And for the fourth year running, they've been trying this new thing where they're saying, hey, folks, if you are feeling like you want to, you know, extend yourself this Thanksgiving period, we also want to take a bit of a break over these next couple of days. How about you look at fostering a dog or a cat over the next couple of days? And if you're keen to have the pet, then you can formally adopt them, but otherwise you can return them. And this is the fourth year running that they're doing this. And for the first time ever in their four-year history, all 92 of their dogs have been taken for foster care over the next couple of days, the Thanksgiving period. And this is what they've noticed, and this is why they're most excited and praising the community. They started this 4 years ago, and 35 of their pets were adopted for the Thanksgiving period. And over half of those animals ended up being adopted through that process because people actually they end up bonding with the animal. They see how the animal behaves with their family, seeing that there's nothing wrong and the family fits in and is loving. And so that's why they're saying now to have all 92 of their pets taken for foster care over the next couple of days. They're really excited to hopefully see that none of their animals will come back to the shelter and actually going into loving homes. So they said on their Facebook page, thank you to our incredible staff and volunteers for working extra hours, helping to process so many foster applications to our network of supporters, and for helping to spread the word about this program, and to the wonderful families that opened up their hearts and their homes to a homeless RACC pet.
I often think about the animals that are left at shelters over this time of year, you know? And they're all these shithead people who go on holiday and they just leave their animals. They just leave them. Like, what kind of a person would... If you're one of those people, please stop listening to this show immediately.
Right now.
Get out of this country. Get away from me, because if I find you...
I will find you. I will kill you. I have a very special selection of skills.
Like Liam Neeson.
I can't even think about it or talk about it. So it just sad. Makes me sick, yeah.
But, you know, Richmond Animal Care and Control has to really be commended on giving such a sweet deal. So apart from allowing you to foster a pet for a couple of days, they even supply you with food, medication, and the crate for a pet. So it's not as if you have to take this pet into your home and you fork out money. But no, they already give you all of these things. I think it's amazing. So hopefully all 92 of these animals will get adopted officially after the Thanksgiving period.
I love that idea, and I love the idea that a lot of these places in the States are doing, where there's a campaign to empty the shelter, empty the cages, and just adopt absolutely every animal there. And well, people rally together and they do it.
There are so many good people in the world who do stuff like that, and my kudos to all of them. I mean, I look at my parents' little dog. She's a fat little Jack Russell, and she was a rescue. She's so grateful. She looks at you the whole time like, thanks so much for taking me out of jail. Thank you. Thank you.
This is the best life ever.
So yeah. She doesn't have to go to jail, poor dog.
So that's his advice here for today.
All right. Very nice. Thank you, Sia. When we come back, we will take on your calls, 0861-555-189. You could tell us what you're up to and whether you've got plans that you want to announce for the weekend. Maybe you've got some ideas around Black Friday. Lots of people are heading to certain parts of South Africa. The shopping malls are going to be crazy. It's going to be a disaster out there. I'm warning you now.
Yeah, I'm not going to go in. Not today.
No.
I did my grocery shopping a couple of days ago, and this is going to be one of those weekends where I go home Friday afternoon and I'll leave the house on Monday morning. That's it. Just no human interaction. Don't do anything with tons of people with this Black Friday thing.
Yeah, if you can. I mean, look, you're going to see those videos of like old ladies rugby tackling big fat men
to get half price cat food
or toilet
those
paper.
Old ladies with the motorized wheelchairs.
Yes,
you watch how that wheelchair turns into a 4x4.
It turns into an army tank. You're talking about dangerous stuff, I'm telling you. All right, all of that and more on the way. Good morning, cliffcentral.com, to take you through your day today. Let's get cracking, shall we? Let's make your day count. Let's start you off on the right foot. Not on the left foot.
No, you can't start on the
left foot. Do you want the left foot, Sia?
You put your left foot in your left. Guys, I do have my song to play for you this morning.
Yay. Yes. We're so excited about, aren't we, Leanne?
Oh, yeah, I can't wait.
Sia's song. I think. Okay. See how that goes. Don't hold your breath. I need.
CliffCentral.com.